Word of God, and it didn't start as the best of moments or mornings to me, so please bear with if there's any coughing, but man, during the worship time, I just really felt infused with God's power, with God's life, because I believe this message is so important for us to hear today. I really, really do. And when the Word of God talks about power over evil, anybody deal with evil in their life? Evil distracts us. It pulls us away from our walk with God. And it comes in three different forms, as we're going to talk about this morning. But first of all, I want to read Acts 19:11-20. And just to save my voice, I would like to ask if someone could read that. Tanya, would you like to read that? Verses 11-20, Acts 19:11-20.
And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Seven sons of the Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greek, and fear fell upon all of them. And the name of the Lord Jesus was exalted. Yeah. Also, many of those who were now believers came, confessing and divulging their practices, and the number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them at the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevailed mighty.
What a powerful revival. The worth of those books were about $6 to $8 million. That was a deep and powerful cleansing of the Holy Spirit. And as we come into this passage, I want to talk about and define, first of all, what evil is. It's what presses you and harasses you to the point of causing pain or trouble in your life. It stops you from living out the Christian faith. It stops you from being steadfast. Excuse me. Got to find that other cough drop. What God wants to do in your life. Please pray. You know, you just never know. Some Sundays it goes away during the message and then it stops. But I just know that there's extra hard pressure this morning to stop you from looking at this word. So what I'll do, maybe I won't be as exuberant today. I will share these words and I want to encourage you to take them deep in your heart. So first part of it is what oppresses you. The second part of that is it's the character. It's everything opposite of the character of God. It's chaos. It's contrary to God's goodness and His designed order. Anybody experience chaos in their lives? I'll move this down a little bit so you don't hear that as loud. And there are three evils that you have to fight with. Three of them. Three main evils that are going to take you out. Satan wants to destroy you. He wants your witness. He wants to stop the move of the Spirit in this body. The freedom. People using their gifts. For a long time, I struggled with what church really was. It's not coming and watching a stage show. It's everybody using their gifts and participating in the body of Christ. And when God starts to do that, Satan is going to come against that with everything that he possibly can, through division, through strife, through trouble in your life. It could be just things that get you discouraged and down, sickness, whatever else. But there are three things. Number one is the world. Believers in Jesus Christ are in a constant battle with the world. And we throw that term around a lot today. We say, well, don't be worldly or don't be part of the world. But what we're talking about is not saying, well, I'm not going to associate with anyone else except my Christians here at Christ Community Church. What the world is the system that is in opposition and rebellion against God. It's like the picture on our screen here where Satan is like putting a puppet on the strings. World rulers, entertainment, world organizations, politics and business. All these things are against God. So that's attacks from the outside. Remember this. You're going to be attacked from the outside of you. Outside influences. You're also going to be attacked from the inside, and that is our sinful nature that was handed down from Adam. Now, in Christ, we're set free, and we can walk away from this, but we still have the residual effects of that sin in our life. It's our fleshly nature. It causes us to do what we don't want to do, as Paul says in Romans 7. And then our last enemy, so that's the opposition from the inside of you. Now, I hope you don't get discouraged today, but half the battle is understanding the Word of God, understanding what the Scriptures say, that you're going to be attacked on the outside, you're going to be attacked on the inside, and the devil is real. Okay? A lot of people in a lot of churches try to downplay the spiritual realm. We are in a spiritual battle. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So I want to talk about how God displayed his power in this passage of Scripture. Number one, the power of God. Evil exists, but God has power over it. And one of the devil's tools to discourage us and to hold us back in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ is to make us think that he has more power than he really does. Even when he's holding the world and the puppet on the string, God is still sovereign. Jesus paid the price. When he said it is finished, he conquered all evil and death. And God has power over evil. And we see that when he comes and he's doing extraordinary, that's outside of ordinary miracles, by the hands of Paul at the preaching of the Word of God. And there are times that I'm waiting that when a church is praying together and seeking the face of the Lord, God's going to display his power in ways that we don't even know. The importance of God's Word in overcoming evil. Remember how Jesus dealt with evil when Satan took him up to the pinnacle of the temple. Remember that when he took him up and tempted him? He always quoted Scripture. So just as some brothers I heard share with Greg, to stick to this, this is your most powerful tool because it's the truth. The devil operates by lies. And there are people that you're going to hear, Greg, and when in your workplace, and when some of you might go to college or university, that are going to try to make you think that what's in here is not true. And that's Satan's trap to bring chaos and disorder in the world. So Paul understood through the power of the gospel that he had power and authority, that even people with sickness and diseases were healed and left. And evil spirits came out of them. Now, I just want to quickly say, because Hollywood has totally messed up our view of this realm where demons operate, there's a lot of confusion. But for just to know this basic thing, Satan was God's main worship leader in heaven. He was supposed to give the glory to God, but what did he want to do? He wanted to steal the glory, and he said, I will be like the Most High. And so he was cast out of heaven, excuse me, by by God, and he took a third of these angels with him, whom we call spirits or demons. We don't know how many that is, but there's a lot of them. And they take over when the word talks about principalities and powers. They take over certain areas and do Satan's bidding for him. Power is real. It was real in the time of Jesus. It's real today. And anyone that tries to say, well, no, let's just ignore that, you're going to get blindsided and you're going to get taken out. But it says in Ephesians that we are seated in the heavenly realms far above all these principalities and these stations of power. You have authority in Jesus Christ through His blood. The power of His blood, you have authority through the speaking of the Word of God. And you know, power over evil is just not about how loud we can scream and tell the demons to come out. It's how we believe the truth of God's Word. We have to fight strategically, not just emotionally. We have to understand what the Word of God says. We have to understand these battles, these doors that are open. John 10 in your notes, Jesus says, I'm the door. If anyone enters, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. So he is out there to destroy your life. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and you might have it abundantly. I felt a lot of abundance this morning. I hope you did too. But God's power moves, and as we surrender and let Him use us. John 6:44 says, you are, he's talking to spiritual leaders, the Pharisees. He says, you are the father of the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning. It does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So evil is real. We wrestle against these principalities and power, but we need to remember. Billy Graham, one of the evangelists and men that I most admire for his long-term stand on the Word of God, he said, Satan is real, but so is Christ. And someday Satan will be defeated and Christ will rule forever. Don't be deceived, but open up your heart and mind to Jesus Christ and put your life into His hands. That was the gospel message. Give your life to Christ. He died, buried, rose again. His power over the devil. Now, I want to point out an interesting thing here. When I was studying this passage of Scripture, did you ever wonder about this handkerchief thing? And so as I'm standing here, you can make fun of me because I spilled tea on the front of me here. But there are ministries that literally say, if you send $100 in, we'll send you this prayer cloth, and it has some power to heal you. Don't believe a word of it, because it's a lie of the devil. When you study this passage of Scripture, the power was not in the cloth itself. It's not inanimate objects, but rather the cloth itself was an extension of Paul. And remember, when Paul was being persecuted, he ran out of money, so he had to go back into his business of tent making. Right? Anybody build tents in here? When you work with leather, you have to build, you have to have aprons and things like that. So literally his handkerchief from the sweat of his brow, because nothing was going to stop him from proclaiming the gospel. You know, the power was not necessarily in the handkerchief, but it was an extension of a man who was totally yielded and surrendered to God, that even though he ran out of money, he says, I'm not going to let that stop. I'm going to go back to make tent. I'm going to sweat. I'm going to remember that. He was in the temple or in the synagogue every day from the morning till night during break time. He worked early in the morning, did that, and then at night went back to work again, because he was a man of character. It was like Moses and his rod. It wasn't the rod that had the power. It was God's power working through Moses as he surrendered to God. And God did an extraordinary miracle, but God uses believers in Christ who are fully surrendered and committed. Those who labor on, even when they don't feel like it or they might be injured, to the preaching the word as conduits of power. Folks, when it comes to dealing with evil, is that we have to stop at nothing until we surrender everything to God and give Him all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. So that we could be channels like power flows through these cords of the power of Almighty God. Paul was so surrendered to the point that even God would use a miracle like this, that even the aprons and handkerchiefs that were symbols that God used to highlight Paul's hard labor for the Lord were touched by the magnificent power of God. The power of God is released through a man or woman whose heart is so utterly committed that he or she is ready to invest diligent labor to make the gospel available, even if they need to stoop to a lowly trade. Number two, the power of true salvation. You cannot have power over evil when your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So look what happened in this passage of Scripture. So one, power exists, but God gives power over it as we surrender to Him and serve and preach the gospel no matter what. Number two, the power of true salvation. Now, there are three lies that the devil comes to trick us. There was seven sons of Sceva. And it's a little bit humorous when we come into this passage, right? These guys saw some people and... I want you to understand that Satan plays around and he has people that operate in a spirit of witchcraft cast other spirits out, or at least it appears to be that way. That's what these men were in the business of doing. They had a formula. They would go in and it would look like they would cast demons out, but there was not real power in it. So then they realized, whoa, this is real. Paul is preaching the gospel and spirits are coming out of people. And they're being set free. And so they said, by the Jesus that Paul knows, we cast out these demons. Folks, you know, we do that. By grandma, I'm going to get into heaven because grandma went to church all of her life and then I went to church with her on Easter and whenever. You have no power over evil without a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a dangerous thing, folks, when we try to get into this battle without having a personal relationship with Jesus. So if you don't have one, I encourage you today to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe that He died for you and He rose again from the grave, that you could have eternal life. Lie number one, you can use or be saved by the faith others have in Jesus without any consequences. So the gravy train is derailed. You can't get into heaven by the coattails of somebody else, let alone handle evil on the earth. Lie number two, if someone is casting out evil and demons, they most definitely must be God's servants. Well, not in this case. I like little comics like this, but... anybody like pro wrestling? I don't really, but it's fake, and I've been to a few shows like that, and I just can't get into it. But I'm sorry if you do get into it, because I know how fake it is. But when the devil fights against other demons like this, it's like this guy pretends to slap him, and he says, "You didn't hit me." Beware of that lie of the enemy when Satan comes. Lie number three. You can use the power of Jesus' name for your own selfish benefit. We reminisce back in earlier in Acts when somebody wanted the power to cast out demons so that they can make money off of it. You can't use the power of Jesus' name for your own selfish benefit. You know, even if I could say today, well, God heals, and He does. He could heal me right now if He wants to, and in fact, He's given me enough sustenance to preach the gospel. But if He has another purpose and plan in this, oh well. I don't need to be selfish and say, God, it would be so much better if I could feel better right now. God has a plan and a purpose in everything in my life. I don't know what He's doing. there are times when I've experienced dramatic, powerful healings. Times I have not, because I needed God's love and discipline in my life. I don't know. Or I just needed a way for God to push me to grow spiritually. But you can't use the power of Jesus' name for your own benefit. Number three, the power of Jesus' name, it has to be held in high honor. Now notice when these guys in verse 16, these evil spirits leaped on them and overpowered them, that they fled the house naked and wounded. They were beat up pretty bad. This is a real encounter. But notice what came next. It became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Also, many of those who were now believers came confessing and divulging their practices. It's the fear of the Lord that brings us to a realization of the sin in our lives and our need for forgiveness, so that we can come to God and say, God, have mercy on me. So not only do we not give in to the tricks of the devil, but the power of Jesus' name has to be held with a healthy fear. Now, there is a theology on the horizon that basically is partly true, but not given the whole truth, that there's no fear in God. There's no fear in God. And they're right. There's not that fear that I'm going to be cast into hell, because He's a God of mercy. He comes to save and deliver and give life. But on the other hand, when the Bible says, without the fear of the Lord, it's the beginning of wisdom. So, if you don't have the fear of the Lord, you don't have wisdom. And if you don't have wisdom, you're going to be unable to operate in this spiritual realm. The fear of the Lord is the realization of, I'm a sinner and I really need the forgiveness of God. It's not the kind of fear of maybe some of us who've experienced abuse in our past, in our lives, and when someone raises their hand, we cower because we're used to being knocked upside of our heads by unhealthy situations in our lives. I'm not talking about that. It's a fear that makes me realize and drives me to come and get freedom and healing and forgiveness. And that's what happens here. It says that they extolled the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. And that extol means to make great, to magnify, to declare great, to esteem high, to celebrate, to get the glory and the praise. It's all eyes, all hands pointing to Jesus. It's not about me. So when we come into this spiritual realm with the power of Jesus' name, I've seen people that want to put on a big show and a spectacular spectacle and just to show that they have power over demons. Jesus says, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. Remember that. But the glory has to go to Him. They weren't focused on the demons. They weren't focused on these spirits coming out. They weren't focused on the handkerchiefs. They were focused on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we focus on the name, that leads us to our last point today, is that the power of God's Word, when God's Word is preached in belief, evil is overcome. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, preaching the Word is the primary task of the church, the primary task of the leaders of the church, the people or set in this position of authority. We must not allow anything to deflect us from this, however good the cause and however great the need. It is the Word of God. When the Word of God was preached, Jesus' name was extolled, and many of those who now were believers came confessing and divulging their practices. But what happens when the Word of God comes? There is a respect for God's power. That's the first thing. There is a belief in the gospel, believing in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I like this little quote by Augustine of Hippo. He's not a hippopotamus, just so you know. Let's wake you up a little bit there. If you believe what you like in the gospels of Jesus, I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. and reject what you don't like. It is not the gospel you believe, but yourself. So if we take God's word, we say, you know, I want to pick and choose what parts of it I believe and the other parts I want to throw out. Then really it's not the gospel we believe, but ourselves. But notice what happens here. There was a huge revival that occurred. And this is what brings about true revival in our lives. If we want to see revival in our country, in West Virginia, in our land, this is where we have to be. It's first the preaching of the word and the gospel. You can't have revival without the preaching of the word. It doesn't come by just an emotional high. But secondly, it comes with the fear of the Lord, where people begin to get on their knees and cry out to God in prayer. Surrender to Him as conduits. And then, when people begin to confess, in other words, acknowledge and admit their sins. Now, if I were to ask you to raise your hands, have you acknowledged and admitted all of your sins in your life? I don't think that we could, any of us could probably raise our hands, because there's plenty of things that we got to hide. But they started confessing in public. I acknowledge, God, that this evil, this magic art that I've been practicing, I acknowledge, God, that this dirty thing that I've been watching, I acknowledge, God, that this thing that has been held me, that has held me captive in my life, this relationship, God, that is whole, I acknowledge, God, that it has taken over and destroyed my life. And then it says that they divulged their sin. In other words, that's disclosing or openly announcing sinful practices. I don't know if that would be you. That would be me with a can of paint trying to paint over. Let's highlight on this area of my life right now. They divulged, they openly announced their practices. But then the third thing you have to do, folks, and this is so important, is that you have to burn the bridges. They gathered all of their things that held them captive. Now, I'm not saying that there are certain things that are right or wrong here, because that's between you and God. But if it captivates your soul and takes your worship away from God, it's an idol. So maybe for the sake for you and your life, although you can't tell everybody to go burn all your video games or go do this or do that, but if it's an idol for you, burn it. If it's keeping you from loving God, get rid of it for a while, for a season, until the Lord teaches you. I mean, if it's a healthy thing, or if it could be a healthy thing. But chances are, a lot of these things open the door to evil. And so, you know, it makes me think of the verse, although Jesus didn't really mean it literally. He says, if your eye causes you to sin, cut it out. This is what he's talking about. Burn the bridges that open the door of destruction and sin. Because Satan wants to come in your life, even as a believer, and oppress you. Although he cannot possess you, he can oppress you. In other words, influence your mind. And the Bible talks about getting a stronghold or a foothold, like on the cliff. If he can just get a, if you're rock climbing, if you, you just have to have a little bit of foothold to get a leg up and go the further up that rock cliff. If the devil gets, there's any bridges left, that's an open door of his invitation. If there's something you want to get rid of and quit in your life, burn the bridge. Do something drastic today. Go to a meeting. Get some help. Turn to your brothers and sisters in Christ and burn these items and surrender fully to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, evil is real. And I want to ask you right now, are there things that you need to admit in your heart to the Lord? What needs to get out in the open in your life? What are you painting over? And what needs to be burned? And I love the ending of that passage. It said, the word of God increased and prevailed mightily. I don't know about you. I want God's word to prevail mightily in my life. I want it to take me down. I don't want to tackle the Word. I want it to tackle me. I want it to prevail over every aspect of my life. So I'm going to just ask today, and we're going to just have a time of just quiet before we leave today. If you'd like to come down for prayer, please do so. I do apologize as we went over our time today, but this was so key and this was so important. So I want to ask you just to bow your hearts before the Lord, and however God is dealing with you today, and maybe you can take this home and He can deal with you in the privacy of your home. But there's a key here to openness. When it's open, when you have a brother or sister that knows or that you can get prayed over, there's extra power. There's that strength and power of openly confessing, because then the body of Christ can embrace you and surround you and strengthen you, just as the testimony of our brother Chad today. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. If there's idols, that you would help us to let go of them and crush them. There's bridges of relationships that need to be burned. Holy Spirit, you'd help us to burn them. If there's addiction to substances and food and things that are controlling our life, the things we fill our void and depression with, you'd enable us, Holy Spirit, to burn it. You come with your all-consuming fire and baptize us with your Spirit and fire and cleanse us from the inside out, Lord Jesus. God, I pray that you'd strengthen each and every believer, each person that's here. And God, if there's any of those that have not put their faith in you, I pray even now your Spirit would move upon their hearts. God, I pray that you'd overtake us with the power of your Spirit, and that the words from this text, from Scripture, they would not return void, and that you would do your work through your powerful Word. Pray that you bless your people and keep them safe this week, and that you give us opportunities to share the love of Jesus in your name. Amen. God bless you, and have a wonderful day, and I encourage you to continue to even take these notes and these scriptures, stew in it for a while.